Yeah, we have Claire Collins, a dietitian from a credits practicing dietitian in Australia. Can you tell us more about the Smart Eating Week and what is it for and why there is such a Smart Eating Week?
Yes, this is the first year that in Australia we've held Smart Eating Week. It's from the 12th to the 18th of February. And this is an initiative of my profession, the Dietitians Association of Australia. And we're trying to put the spotlight on healthy eating and where people get their nutrition information from. And there's a couple of reasons we're doing that. First of all, we know that in Australia, our eating habits aren't really that great. For many Australians, up to a third of the kilojoules or the food they consume falls under that category of discretionary choices, which in plain language is junk food. And at the same time, we know with this technology age, there's lots of nutrition information out there, but it can confuse people. So in my profession, we did a survey, and we found that 9 out of 10 people trust the advice from accredited practicing dietitians. So we thought it's time to wave the flag and say, hey, during Smart Week, try and talk to a dietitian or get information or attend an event that they're running and help sort out fact from fiction.
Does the service include Medicare as well? Those who has Medicare can get the service, or they have to fork out from the pockets?
Well, in Australia, the fees that a private practice dietitian would charge, the majority of health funds actually cover that or part of that fee. If you've got a chronic disease, there are a range of Medicare care plans where your GP might set you up with a managed care plan where you can access 5 allied health visits, and that needs to be set up by your general practitioner. So if you do have something like type 2 diabetes or heart disease, or you've got pre-diabetes, or you've previously had gestational diabetes, so that's diabetes in pregnancy, have a chat to the general practice where you go and ask them if you're eligible for a managed care plan or a chronic disease care plan or any of the other Medicare-funded plans that would allow you to see a dietitian.
Does it happen to be that the accredited practicing dietitian are working with other organizations to figure out a better solution to tackle this eating habit?
At the moment, there isn't any healthcare funding for that. There definitely are researchers working with people who are working in genetics. And while we know a lot about some people are more genetically at risk for certain medical conditions, type 2 diabetes is a good example, and type 1 diabetes, it's currently not really developed enough to this point where you could, you know, book an appointment to go and see a dietitian and say, "Here, look, here's what my gene test says, what should I be eating?" There have been massive advances in terms of genetic testing for some specific diseases, but it's not really accurate enough at this stage for food. But having said that, one thing we know is that because dietitians spend at least 4 years at university studying nutrition science and are really good at tailoring advice to individuals, we know that lots of people who'd benefit from a personal consultation with a dietitian at this stage haven't gotten that. And part of that is because they don't know where to go to get services. So a lot of dietitians do work in the major hospitals. So if you attend a hospital for a medical condition, you could ask at that hospital, would speaking to a dietitian be beneficial for your medical condition? A lot of the area health services have what are called community health centres, and they often have outpatient type clinics. And then there's the referral from your general practitioner. Now, it may be that you have one of those medical conditions where you could see a dietitian as part of a managed care plan, but equally, if you have private health insurance, you can see a dietitian either through referral from your GP, or many of the dietitians in your area may not even need a referral depending on your health fund. So one of the hard things then is people go, oh, okay, I've got to see a dietitian. How do I do that? If you're on the internet, just Google Dietitians Association of Australia, and there's a little search tool called find a dietitian or find an APD, and APD just stands for Accredited Practicing Dietitian. And all you have to do is put in your postcode and it'll pop up with the private practice dietitians in your area to try and make it a bit easier for you to find someone.
For the Smart Eating Week, can they also search like what you just mentioned?
Yes, you can. We hope that in your area there will be an event and you'll see it advertised. But if you're on Twitter, and I know not everybody is, but if you are one of these people who are on Twitter or even Instagram, just search for Smart Eating Week in one word and that will pop up. My team here at the University of Newcastle, we also created a free quiz that the Dietitians Association of Australia have endorsed, and that's called the Healthy Eating Quiz. And that's a self-assessment. It's an online survey that takes about 5 minutes to do. You do the quiz and it gives you a brief personalized advice based on your answer to those questions. So you can just Google Healthy Eating Quiz and that will pop up as well. Or you can also find that if you Google Smart Eating Week and go to the dietitian's page.
You also mentioned something about the eating habits of Australians, that they tend not to eat healthy foods. Some people try to lose weight by going to some health guru and believe in superfood, which some of the reports claims they're not actually superfoods. So a lot of information is out there making people confused, like what you have just mentioned. What is the best advice that you can give to people?
Well, when you look at the current eating habits here in Australia, the food group that's the most neglected, where there's the biggest difference between what we know people ideally would be aiming for versus what they eat, is actually for the vegetable group. Ideally, people would be having at least 5 serves of vegetables, where we call a serve a half a cup of cooked vegetables or 1 cup of salad. That's like 2.5 cups of cooked vegetables per day or up to 5 cups of salad. That's the biggest difference. And as a food group, all vegetables are superfoods. It's true that there are particular vegetables or fruit that are especially high in one nutrient, but having that occasionally doesn't really improve your health compared to the health benefit and the help that you'll get in trying to control your weight if you really increase your vegetables. So one simple guide that we say is when you look at your plate or your lunchbox, half of it should be covered with salad or cooked vegetables. Whether they're hidden in a mixed dish, if it's more like a stew or a casserole, or whether they're eaten just plain. Most Australians need to double or triple the amount and the variety of vegetables that they're eating at the moment.
What do you think stop people from eating fruits and vegetables, and especially men and also kids, that they hate vegetables so much?
Yes, I think there's lots of things. I think one of the things is that we give up too soon in trying to encourage our families to eat more vegetables. I think sometimes men can complain too much and say, oh no, I don't like Brussels sprouts or whatever the vegetable is. The other thing is, I think we don't have enough recognition that some people, and about 25%, so about 1 person in 4, is what's called a super taster. Now, a person who's a super taster, they actually genetically do have more taste buds on the tip of their tongue. So they would taste a vegetable like Brussels sprouts or cabbage. They can taste the a chemical compound in there called glucosinolate, and it is a bitter tasting chemical. So when a person who's a super taster eats it, they go, oh, that's disgusting. A person who's what called a non-taster says, I don't know what you're talking about, it tastes fine to me. And an in-between person goes, I'm not keen on it, it tastes a little bit bitter. Now, what's interesting is that even if you are a super taster, you know, the person who says, that's definitely bitter, I don't like that, you can overcome super taster effect by repeated exposure. So what that means at home is if the family whinge because they say that vegetable tastes disgusting, if you just keep giving it to them, over time they learn to tolerate it. And the other thing we know is that the way you cook vegetables can actually neutralize the impact of being sensitive to bitter tasting compounds. So what that means in plain language is using herbs and spices, cooking vegetables for less time rather than more time, using things like pepper or olive oil and vinegar really helps you to appreciate rich flavors of herbs and spices along with the vegetables, and then you don't notice the yucky glucosinolate taste underneath.
Do you have any comments for Australian communities during this Smart Eating Week?
Yes, I think during Smart Eating Week, when you're doing your grocery shopping or doing your dinner, have a look and try to be aware of how many different types of vegetables you normally eat in a week. And then try to experiment in that week, having two or three more that you don't usually buy, and experiment until you find a way that makes it taste really nice. We know that eating more vegetables, putting more colour on your plate, is the way to improving your health and improving weight. And then lastly, Google Dietitians Association of Australia and Smart Eating Week and jump on board and connect with a dietitian and all the information and resources we've got to share with people.
Do you think that's apart from dietitians of what they're doing, what your organisation is doing, the Australian government's health policy as well as individuals should take responsibility?
I definitely think we need more support for healthy eating at every level of government. The world food environment has changed so much. There are so many foods available now that aren't really very good for us, that didn't used to be available. And I do think that things like a sugar tax would definitely be helpful. But when it comes to you individually and you're doing your shopping and cooking for your family, trying to focus on getting back to more of the basic foods, the healthy foods that form part of what we call the Australian Guide to Healthy Eating. So that's vegetables and fruit, whole grains, cereals, legumes, nuts, dairy products, and the leaner sorts of meats or the vegetarian alternatives that you can afford. Having a bigger variety of those basic foods and less of the highly processed foods is the best way to help you, your family, and your community to be healthy. And we also know that it helps you save money, because when you spend more money on grocery shopping, you end up spending less money on takeaway foods. And that is absolutely a recipe for improving your health.
Thank you very much for your time and your insights, Claire Collins from Accredited Practicing Dietitian.
Okay, it's a pleasure.